to all of you for being here on another beautiful, beautiful day that the Lord has given us. We're so thankful to see some of our sick back with Brother Bill. We're glad to have you back as always. And Gail, we sincerely hope you're getting over your problems. I'm just glad to see everybody. I thank all of you for being here. And as always, I want you to know that how much I love all of you and how much you mean to me. Now, brethren, this morning I'm going to talk to you about something that we all need to do. When Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus under the cover of night in John chapter 3, turn with me if you would, he made a statement to the Lord in a verse that we want to begin with this morning. That's John chapter 3. And verse 2. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." I want you to notice that Nicodemus refers to Jesus as a teacher, and he preeminently was just that. Jesus was a master teacher. His lesson is the good news, the gospel, in which is revealed God's plan for making man righteous through the death of Jesus on the cross. Not only did the Lord teach the gospel, he selected and he commissioned 12 apostles and told them to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Look with me, if you will, at Matthew chapter 11. Jesus, the master teacher, gives the invitation to all in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. These are tender words. I don't see how anybody could refuse this after they hear this. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, I say, I don't know how anyone could refuse this invitation if he wasn't a Christian or a Christian in need of repentance. But the only way to come to Jesus is to learn. And the only way to learn is to be taught. So John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45, I think we need to read that together. John 6. Jesus said in verse 44 of John chapter 6, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Jesus was the teacher, and his method of bringing sinners to himself is through the teaching of his word. And one of the most effective methods of teaching that Jesus used was the parables. Indeed, in all of history, Jesus is the foremost parable teacher. No one ever used parables as Jesus did. And one of the most beloved of the Lord's parables was the parable of the sower that we find in Luke chapter 8. I wish you'd turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Now, when we get to Luke 8, I want to focus upon the Lord's explanation of this parable, beginning in verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed of the word of God, those by the wayside are they that hear, and cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which with an honest and good heart, having heard the gospel, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, having explained the explanation of this parable, skip down to verse 18, where Jesus told them, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. That's the theme of our lesson this morning. Take heed how you hear. Obviously, this context, when Jesus spoke about hearing, he was not talking about the physical act of sound waves hitting the eardrums. There was much more involved, and that is what I would like to talk to you about this morning. Just what is involved in hearing Jesus. First of all, we need to be certain that we hear the right thing. There's an awful lot of things being taught in the Lord's name that are just not so. And there are an awful lot of buildings being taught that are just not so from the pulpits of these buildings that have the Church of Christ written on the front of them. There's only one way that I know of to be sure that we're hearing the right thing, and that is to follow the example of the Bereans that we read about in Acts 17:11. Let's go over there. Acts 17 and verse 11. Most of you know this familiar passage. The Bible says, beginning in verse 11 of Acts 17, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Even when Paul preached to these people, they went to the scriptures to see if what he said was true. And Paul didn't get mad about it. No, he commended them for it. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Then again, John clearly told us in 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Make no mistake about it, brethren. A false teacher will be held responsible for his false doctrine that he's taught. But if we are misled, we will be held responsible as well. God has given us the scriptures by which we are to check everything that we hear. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's in Romans 10:17. The Word of God is a message that Jesus wants us to hear, and the responsibility to make certain that is what we hear rests on our shoulders, brethren. Where did Jesus send certain of the apostles to seeking to slay him in John 5:9? Look with me what they say there. He sent them to read these passages, John 5 and verse 39. He says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures, brethren. Search them daily, every day. And second, when we're listening to the Word of God, we must hear to believe. The Apostle Paul was invited to speak in the city of Athens, as it was a city of educated people, philosophers and teachers and all kinds of educated people. But the attitude with which they heard Paul is described in Acts 17 and verse 21. We need to look at that, please. Acts 17, verse 21. The Bible says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now Paul preached unto them the same gospel, and he had preached to a dozen other cities where he planted the church of the Lord. Yet in Athens, not many believed him. They listened only to the curiosity with their own great learning. Many even mocked what they had heard. They did not hear to believe. Something similar is when we go to hear a certain preacher preach. Not because of the message he's bringing, but because of who he is and how he brings it. That is not really conducive to hearing acceptably. When we're being careful how we hear, we must try to put aside all prejudice. Admittedly, though, that's a very difficult thing to do. To hear acceptably, we must hear with an open mind, ready to accept the word preached, ready to believe it if it proves to be true. Again, just like the Bereans who received the word with all readiness of mind. That's the way we must be, brethren. Brethren, in hearing, to believe, we must listen to the message and not just the messenger. So I want you to come with me now, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read the first five verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul wrote, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul continued to write the importance of preaching in chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, if you'll move over there. Paul says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase." Now I know a lot of preachers, and I used to be one years ago that felt this way. They get so depressed because they're not baptizing or saving anyone. But they must remember, God gives the increase. And the preacher's job is just to tell the truth. And you know something? The poorest teacher on earth will do more good with the truth than with the most skillful preacher who teaches something else. That is one of the very dangers that people don't hear to believe. In other words, they don't focus on the content of the message. A skilled and personal teacher who teaches just a little error can be so good in the method of presentation that it goes undetected until it's too late. How many times have we talked about that here in this very congregation? How many times have you been warned, make sure who teaches this Bible study, make sure who gets in the pulpit, make sure, check them, just like the Bereans did Paul. Take heed, brethren, how you hear. The third point I want to make, when talking about how we hear, the point needs to be made that we must hear the Word of God regularly and constantly. I want us to consider something. There is no question that the church in the first century grew rapidly. We know that. So let's go turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at verse 41. Now the church began with 3,000 people being baptized on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts 2:41. And it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." In a very short period of time, in Acts 4 and verse 4, turn over. Acts 4 and verse 4. "How many of them which heard the word believed? And number of the men was about 5,000. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 14. Here we find, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." Then if you will, go to chapter 6 and look at verse 1. "And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. And if you look at verse 7 of that same chapter, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Brethren, an important point to make is this: the church in Jerusalem grew not only in numbers, but also grew in knowledge. Man, go back to Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. No wonder they grew. No wonder they grew. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You remember Peter's exhortation in 1 Peter 1, verse 2? Chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2 and verse 2. Most of us know this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. In order for a baby to grow properly, it must have a regular, constant feeding of the necessary nutrients. In the same way, in order for us to grow properly in the Lord, we need to hear the word of the Lord regularly, and we need to hear it constantly. The Bible is understandable. Some say, oh, you can't understand the Bible. That's why they have a priest or whatever to explain to them. No, the Bible is understandable. But it's not so simple nor so arranged that we can sit down one time and digest all of its truths. It just won't happen that way. So let's look what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would, please. First Timothy chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 13. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. No, excuse me. First Timothy 4. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then if you will, turn over to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Here he exhorted them to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, how many times have you heard me say, study, 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 study the Bible. That's the only way. It's the only way you'll ever get it. Now I want to go back to the Old Testament for just a moment, to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Now, I like this statement made in Isaiah 28 and verse 10. Even though this passage, in context, is not dealing specifically with our point, it still defines the way that we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. Isaiah 28 verse 10 reads, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. We don't come to know and understand all of God's Word at one time, brethren. We must study and learn over a period of time. When we take heed how we learn, let us be certain that we're hearing regularly and constantly. Yet another aspect of how we hear is this: we must hear to respond. Being a child of God is based upon doing what is learned, not just learning it. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's Luke 6:46. We're clearly and we're plainly told that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Yes, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in John 8:32. But he preceded that with, if you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, in verse 31. It does little good to look into a mirror and see a dirty face, and then do nothing about it, or try to see what we look like, only to turn away from the mirror and forget what we saw. Well, that is the illustration that God uses concerning those who look into His Word in James 1, verse 22 through 25. Let's look together at James chapter 1. James wrote, beginning in verse 2 of chapter 1, verse 22. He said, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed." Brethren, we have got to hear to respond. We've got to hear the word to respond. And one of the most frustrating aspects of preaching the word of God relates to this. Many will hear God's word being preached. They'll tolerate what the preacher is saying. Maybe even at the end of the service somehow they'll say, "What a great lesson that was." And they have no intention of changing or their conduct to match what the word says. The scriptures speak of some who have this very attitude towards preaching in the description of Israel's attitude toward Ezekiel's preaching. You may remember that, but if not, let's go back and refresh our memories at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 30. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy word, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." Think about what is said concerning Noah in Genesis 6:22. I think this is probably my favorite verse in all of the Bible. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." You think about what all Noah went through. It took him 120 years to build the ark. People laughed at him. They mocked him. They did everything. There's only 7 people saved. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And another great prophet, in Exodus 40 and verse 16, we read these words, "Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." I don't know about you, but I hope that could be on my tombstone. "Thus did Jerry," or "thus did whoever, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And then finally, brethren, we have got to be certain that as we take heed how to hear, that we hear to tell others. Being a Christian is to be a teacher. We become Christians by being taught and by obeying instruction. We in turn continue to live as Christians by doing for others what was done for us. Most of us here would not be a Christian if someone hadn't taught us. Most of us didn't learn it on our own. I know of my family, my mother and dad taught me, and I know there's a lot of people who are in the same boat. Don't matter, though. We must be taught. Turn the Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter. It's so simple. Remember the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. "I Our Lord Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." People who have been taught are to teach others. How long is this Great Commission to last? Forever, as long as this world stands. As long as this world stands, we are to teach others as we learn. And when you think about it, it's inconceivable someone could be saved from sin by the Lord Jesus and not want to share the good news with others. I can't believe anybody would do that. The early Christians felt that way. Remember, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. When Peter and John were arrested for preaching the gospel of Christ and threatened if they continued doing it, what happened when they were threatened? Well, let's look at Acts 4, verses 19 and 20. Acts 4, verse 19 and 20. They told them, "Do not preach this. If you do, you're going to go to jail, may even be killed." Acts 4, 19 and 20. They responded with these words. I think it's important we read these verses together. "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." Only one chapter later, if you would, when all the apostles stood before the council, the high priest said in Acts 5 and verse 28, look with me. Acts 5 and verse 28. "Did not we straitly command that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Speaking, Peter speaking for the others said in verse 29, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And then we find in verse 42 that they went right back to doing what they had been doing. It says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus." Didn't stop them. Well, just like the council had threatened, persecution came upon the followers of Jesus because they heard the word and they were to tell others. Most had to flee from their homes in Jerusalem because of what they had done. But let's look at what happened to these people when they fled. Look at Acts 8, in verse 4. Did they stop preaching and teaching like they were told to do? Well, Acts 8 and verse 4 says, "Therefore they that went scattered abroad," that's the ones that had to leave, "and when they went scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word." That doesn't mean as a preacher, that means preaching and teaching the word. They went everywhere. So you see, when these people heard and responded, they then turned around and heard and to tell others. There's a warning issued in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, that I believe must be honestly considered. If you will, let's go back to Ezekiel, chapter 33. Chapter 33 and verse 8. Ezekiel wrote, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity." Listen now. "But his blood will I require at thine hand." That principle is applicable today, brethren. Paul made it clear that when he told the Ephesian elders that he had not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Brethren, to the best of my knowledge, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And if I have in any way, you'd be my best friend if you would bring it to my attention, because I certainly would repent. If we have been made free from sin by hearing and accepting the gospel of Christ, being baptized into his death and contacting his blood, we must share that good news with everyone. Yes, God intends that we hear, but we must take heed how we hear. We must hear the right thing, investigating to make sure it is from God. When we find it is truly God's word, then we must be willing to believe it. Through faith, we must do what the Lord says. Then we must teach others to the story of salvation. Take heed how you hear. That song that Bill sang right before the lesson, "We All Get to Heaven," what a glorious song that is. So my friend, listen to these words. Life is too short, death is too sure, and eternity is too certain. Heaven is too wonderful and hell is too hot. Today is the day of God's mercy and His grace and His salvation. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have done already done their part to make salvation possible. It's up to you now. So I ask you, what condition is your soul in? If you're not a Christian, the condition of your soul is that you are lost eternally. You will spend eternity with the devil and his angels in hell. However, if you're not a Christian, do not panic. It's not too late. You can take care of that this very morning by submitting to the gospel of Christ, which demands that you repent of your sin, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. I ask you this right now. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you submit your life to King Jesus? If you're an erring Christian, you too need to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. We can help anyone in this audience today to make their life better, make their life right with God. Anything that we can help you with, please, please, I beg you, come now as we stand and as we sing.